Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning.
Welcome to Talking Up Music Education. In today's episode, we present a NAMM Foundation call with U.S. Secretary of Education John B. King. As always, your host for this episode is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation. Now, here's Mary and Secretary King.
You've been involved in your role as Secretary of Education for the last 5 months at an incredibly important and critical time for our nation with the transition and implementation of our new federal education law. So I guess my first question is, how's it going? What have been your greatest challenges, most rewarding experiences, and sort of your outlook for the coming months?
Sure. Well, first, thanks again for the opportunity to join you. I would say the experience of being secretary is humbling. It's such an honor to have been asked by the president to take on this role. And it's such an important moment because we've made a lot of progress as a country. You know, last year we had the highest graduation rate we've ever had as a country at 82%. We're seeing significant reductions in the dropout rate, particularly for African-American and Latino students. So there's good news. But there's a real sense of urgency about closing achievement gaps and ensuring that more of our students graduate from high school ready for college and careers. And the new law, the Every Student Succeeds Act, gives us some new tools to do that, particularly by emphasizing the importance of a well-rounded education and the notion that students, yes, need strong English and math skills, but also need opportunities in science and social studies, the arts, and music. So I feel very privileged to be able to try and lead around those things, and also I've had some great experiences traveling around the country, meeting with students and teachers, seeing great schools like the Las Vegas Academy of the Arts, which is doing just such amazing work in not only great academic outcomes, but also great artistic experiences for students where they really get to express themselves and become incredibly proficient in their areas of the arts that they're most passionate about.
We know that through your biography, you know, all of us in the education area and our advocates for music and arts education have come to know you via your biography. You certainly have a remarkable story of your own life and the role of teachers in your own life. Did you have the opportunity to learn music and the arts as part of your education in New York as well?
You know, the arts were critical. You know, my mom passed when I was 8, and I lived with my dad, who was quite sick, and he passed away when I was 12. And during that period, I had a teacher at PS 276 in Canarsie, who was my teacher in 4th, 5th, 6th grade. He actually looped with us. And for me, it was theater. Theater was central to our experience in 4th, 5th, 6th grade. We did a production of Midsummer Night's Dream, which I remember like it was yesterday. We did a production of Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. I was the rose in the garden in Alice in Wonderland. And those experiences with theater, with being on stage, with learning the lines, with studying the language, those were powerful life experiences. And one of my regrets, however, is that I did not learn to play an instrument. And so that's been important to me as a parent. Now my 9-year-old is learning the guitar and my 12-year-old the piano. And that's a regret that I have, that even though I had some good music appreciation experiences, I didn't actually get to learn an instrument.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us, because it just helps us understand that you share a sensibility that everyone in our coalition has to really work on this. We want to work with you to assure this opportunity. Let's jump into a moment now around the new education law, if that would be work for you. And we all did really sit up and notice when we read the news of your Las Vegas Academy for the arts visit and the comments that you provided from there. And you restated the intent of the new federal law for state and school districts to provide students with a well-rounded education, and music of the arts, as we know, are listed in that definition. And this has really been the core work of the Support Music Coalition as an advocacy effort to raise the level of importance and support for this opportunity for all children. So this, you know, your words into these questions will mean a lot to us and help us keep moving forward. So why do you consider music and the arts important to student achievement? I think you talked about it in terms of your own experience, but as it particularly can help students become college and career ready.
That's right. That's right. You know, I'd say three things. One is we know from the research that strong experiences in the arts can improve academic outcomes. And, you know, we know that students who've learned music do better in math. We know that students who are having strong experiences in theater will see their improvement in their English language arts skills. So there's the knowledge that the arts help support other academic success. We see that, you know, the First Lady held a Turnaround Arts talent show yesterday at the White House. These are schools that are using arts integration to improve academic outcomes where they have struggled in the past. So there's that connection between the arts and overall academic achievement. But I worry sometimes that people focus on that and forget that the arts have a value in and of themselves, are an important part of a well-rounded education. It's not just about positive influence on other academic subjects, but we want students to develop an appreciation of the beauty of the arts. We want students to have those opportunities for expression and expressing themselves and what they're passionate about. We want students to develop an appreciation of the discipline and the practice that it takes to get good at the arts and to succeed in the arts. And so there's that second piece. And then the third piece is we know that the arts can be a part of a motivating, well-rounded education. I can recall a school that I worked with when I was state commissioner in New York that realized that they were really struggling with attendance. And one of the things they realized is that Fridays were a particularly poor attendance day. And so they moved some of the arts classes that students were taking to make sure that they were happening on Friday. And they saw their attendance improve dramatically on Friday. And I raise that because it helps to illustrate that the arts are very motivating for students. They're part of what makes enjoyable whole child experience for kids.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, the research that we've funded over the years have shown exactly what you've described in terms of the correlation relationship between participation, opportunity for high quality programs, higher grades, discipline, retention, all these things are so important. So kind of continuing down this thoughts, in your experience as an educator, what constitutes a quality music education program that should be available to all students in the schools?
It certainly starts with having a well-prepared, well-supported educator in the classroom. We did an announcement today about draft regulations for the Every Student Succeeds Act, and we did the announcement at the Knoll Elementary School in D.C., and I visited a music class, and the teacher was integrating the teaching of music with students learning about the Silk Road. And so they were getting content knowledge, and they were learning about music and reading music and understanding strategies of using their voice to capture different notes. And it was impressive to see her sort of seamlessly teaching both music and content. And I talked with the principal about this teacher, and she just described how motivated the teacher is, how engaged she is with thinking about how to be creative in her classroom. She's actually going abroad this summer to study music in other countries so she can bring those lessons back to her kids. So it starts with great teaching, but you got to have the right supports. You got to have dedicated time, and you've got to have administrators at the school and district level who are committed to providing the time for arts and music education. You've got to have the resources So I worry that, you know, we see significant resource inequities between schools that we're working to address, and we want to make sure that kids, regardless of where they go to school, have the opportunity to have instruments in their classroom, to have the benefit of the ways that technology can support music education and arts education. So we got to make sure that there's great teacher, the time that folks need, the resources to have the materials in the classroom, and then, of course, you know, an ambitious set of standards and expectations for students, and the hope that students will gain skills and also have powerful experiences in the arts that will influence the rest of their lives.
Thank you. Throughout our coalition effort, we've stressed so often that music and arts education need to have the same resources as any other core academic subject. Now, we know that core academic subject is not our new nomenclature, but they are as important to student success. In some instances, can be the key to student success. So that's been very important to how we've described the needed support. So thank you for being thorough on that. Several years ago, in the period of No Child Left Behind, we were really struggling for the understanding of the use of Title I and Title II funds to provide access to music and arts education programs. Do you feel under the new law we are getting clearer guidance regarding the eligibility for funding in these title programs?
Absolutely. And we will continue to reinforce with states and school districts that Title I and Title II dollars can be used, should be used, to support high-quality, well-rounded education, including art and music. There also is the opportunity with the Title IV program under the new Every Student Succeeds Act for funding directly to arts programs in districts. Presidents proposed doubling the level of funding for Title IV. There were some programs that previously existed that are being rolled into a new Title IV program. Presidents proposed doubling funding so that there'll be more resources for the arts and music and high-need schools. There's also the opportunity for schools and districts to think about the arts in their strategy for school improvement. So one of the requirements of the law is that states dedicate funds to the schools that are struggling the most. And that's one of the reasons we're so excited about Turnaround Arts, because we're seeing through the Turnaround Arts program schools all over the country that are seeing significant academic improvement through an arts-focused strategy.
So you really feel that the new law really will expand opportunity for music and arts learning just by the way the new law and the eligibility is going to be structured? That will become clearer and clearer to us as the regulations are developed?
That's exactly right. And you'll see that in the guidance that we put out around the new law, including the guidance around the use of the Title IV dollars. And I should also say that folks should, if they have questions about the grant programs under the new law or the regulations under the new law, they can reach out to us at our email address for questions on the law. It's ESSA.guidance@ed.gov. And if folks have questions about this area or recommendations for things that we should try to make clear in future guidance, that would be helpful. Again, it's ESSA.guidance@ed.gov.
And we will certainly share that with our coalition and encourage them as local districts. And also, many of our members are working on the state level in the committee of practitioners and the other listening tours that are taking place within states around needs assessment. We're really trying to invigorate our communities to be involved in this transition process. You know, we talked a lot, and you've touched on the reality of the lowest performing schools and also the high risk or the highest need populations. There was a study that we encouraged the Government Accountability Office through the sponsorship of Senators Alexander and the then Senator Chris Dodd to commission on what access to music and arts education looked like in the 2009 period, which is, of course, in the sort of the peak of No Child Left Behind implementation. And also the NAEP study that came out in 2012 sort of validated what we were seeing in that study. And that is the students that were at the lowest income, most sort of underserved communities that could have benefited the most from music and arts education were receiving it the least. and that ESSA, first and foremost, reemphasized the role of the Elementary and Education Act to address issues of equity. Do you think our new law is really going to help us move our shared vision of equity forward? And how can we work together to assure that our most risk students actually receive a well-rounded education that helps them stay in school and graduate?
I think the new law will be helpful. I think it's going to be hugely important that music educators, folks who are passionate about arts education, music education, are part of the state-level conversations around implementation of the new law. You know, we just announced these draft regulations today, and they really try and ensure state and local flexibility within clear civil rights guardrails. But at the end of the day, this law puts a lot of responsibility in the hands of states and local districts to decide how they will use the resources, the federal resources, and how they will ensure equity and how they particularly intervene with struggling schools. And so it's just going to be critically important for music educators, leaders in the arts, to be at the table for those state-level conversations. Every state is now convening listening sessions, convening, in many cases, panels of educators and community leaders to advise the state on their plan for ESSA implementation. I'll give you an example. States could say in their ESSA plan that one of the things they're going to monitor is access to art and music experiences in schools and whether that is equitable. But that's a choice that states will make. And so it's going to be important for, music educators, folks who care about the arts, to be at the table asking states to put their attention there.
So once again, advocacy is the core of us moving this into the kind of realization that we all dream of. As you say, we need to be at the table.
You're listening to A Conversation with U.S. Secretary of Education John B. King and Executive Director of the NAM Foundation, Mary Lurson. This conversation was recorded on May 26, 2016, and they're discussing a new federal education law called the Every Student Succeeds Act and its goals for all children to receive a well-rounded education.
Would you like to share any updates on announcements that occurred earlier today?
Sure. So today we announced the draft regulations around accountability and state plans. You know, we made the announcement, as I said, at the Knoll School because we wanted to call attention to a school that's really using arts integration and music education to improve their overall performance. They have a great partnership with the Kennedy Center that they were describing to us. So the announcement was a step in the process. The next step is that we'll have a 60-day comment period. So it'll be important for educators and other stakeholders around the country to look at the regulations, give us feedback, but also seize the moment with states to think about how can states broaden their definition of educational excellence. One of the problems of No Child Left Behind, we know, is that unfortunately, and I don't think this was intended by the authors, but the unfortunate consequence was that in many places around the country, we saw a reduced emphasis on music education, reduced emphasis on the arts because of a single-minded accountability focus on English and math. And again, we know English and math are necessary, but they're not sufficient for success in college and careers and life. And so folks really can use these new regulations to work with their states to broaden that definition of educational excellence to include art and music, and also use these regulations to work with their states to say, when we've got struggling schools, one of our strategies can be arts integration, the creation of an arts magnet maybe that draws a diverse group of students from across the district or from across different districts, or making sure we have good professional development for teachers around arts integration, or making sure that schools can run strong, have the resources necessary to run strong music programs. So the regulations that we announced today are really a starting point for folks to engage in these important state-level conversations.
And how will the accountability systems that will be defined by states relate to the goals of ESSA for school climate and culture? Our research shows repeatedly that where there are these rigorous programs, both music and arts integration program, and also, as you said earlier, you know, these kind of standalone, rigorous, discipline-based programs, like a sequential music education program for band, choir, kind of the music technology composition, you know, where our research has shown that where there are these really rigorous programs, that the school climate produces so much more parental engagement, student attendance rates, you know, ultimately graduation rates. So do you think that as schools are looking at their accountability plans, that they really should take a close look at, you know, it's almost like if you could choose where the magic is to solve some of these problems. The research is just telling us that these programs, if they can be staffed right and the resources, as you said, they will move toward the results that they're really seeking for their kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an opportunity both in the work that states will do on their state plan for ESSA implementation and then in the work that states and districts will do to implement the Title IV grant program. So, you know, the president, as I said, proposed doubling the funding for Title IV. It takes it to around $500 million. Those funds could be used to support just the kind of high-quality music and arts education program that you're describing. States will distribute the money to districts based on a formula. One of the things that we propose is some flexibility for how states do that so that states can really focus the resources on things like art and music education, if that's consistent with the state plan that stakeholders have developed. But we're hopeful that folks will put those Title IV dollars to use in supporting high-quality programs, as well as making good decisions about the use of Title I and Title II dollars to support those programs.
And also Title I dollars, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, including the school improvement dollars.
Right. So as we really look at the channels around which funding could be available based on the state and district plans, there's a lot more options. Would you agree?
That's right. Title I, Title II, Title IV, the school improvement set aside within Title I, all of those could be places where districts could draw resources for creating strong arts programs. And look, there's also state and district commitments here. And we've got to remember that states and districts account for the vast majority of what's spent in schools. The federal contribution is only about 10%. And so it's important for all of us who care deeply about a well-rounded education in general and arts education in particular to advocate for the state and district investments that are needed.
Absolutely. And we've tried to educate our constituents over and over about the realities of our advocacy has to be on many levels, but also that this new federal law really sets some policies and tone of what's important, and we think there's a great opportunity. Well, I'd like to spend our last few minutes talking about Title IV a little bit more specifically. And if I want to get into a little bit of the granular, this is the Formula Block Grant Program, Student Support and Academic Enrichment Grants. States must distribute at least 95% of these funds to school districts by formula, which means every district gets a percentage of what is applicable to them by their enrollment, I believe. And this is what's interesting, is that schools must spend not less than 20% of the funds to support well-rounded programs. And we know this is where music and arts education are part of that. So while these decisions will be made locally, do you see the potential for more opportunities for music and arts? And I think the answer you're going to say is yes. But what do we need to do to make sure we get this done for our students and this locally? And welcome again, you're restating the importance of being at the table.
Yeah. So three quick thoughts on that. One is, so important to be a part of these state-level conversations about ESSA implementation, including Title IV. Music educators, people who are passionate about the arts, leaders of community arts institutions need to be at the table in those conversations talking about the importance of a well-rounded education, importance of music experiences to kids' success. So engaging in those state-level conversations is critical. Two is, lifting up those examples of great programs that are making a difference. You know, that's one of the reasons the First Lady did the Turnaround Arts talent show. So draw attention to these schools where strong art and music programs are changing kids' trajectory. And, you know, we have those examples all over the country, places like Las Vegas Academy of the Arts. When I was New York State Commissioner, one of my favorite schools to visit was the Rochester School of the Arts, just doing amazing work. So trying to draw attention to places that are doing this well, the research evidence that supports it. And then the third piece is really engaging with local leaders, district leaders, local school boards, having that conversation about the importance of a well-rounded education, the importance of art and music, the importance of prioritizing those investments so that those Title IV dollars, but also, as we talked about, Title I, Title II, state and local resources are invested in a way that supports strong art and music programs.
Very good advice to us advocates on every level that we're working on. Just a couple of final thoughts, and we're so grateful for the time that you spent with us today. When you were a teacher, what grades and what classes did you teach? Just a little bit more background.
Yeah. I taught high school social studies, first in Puerto Rico and then in Boston. And then I was a middle school principal in Boston. So high school and middle school, secondary level was my focus.
And how many years were you an educator?
So between teaching and being a principal, it was about 9 years at the local level. And then after that, I helped start a network of schools and then went to work for the State Education Department in New York, where I was deputy commissioner and then commissioner of education in New York. And an interesting thing in New York is we oversaw both the K-12 system and higher education, but we also had responsibility for museums and libraries and cultural institutions in New York. So very passionate about how we integrate all these different educational resources that we have in the community and take advantage of those.
And I don't know if you're aware, but in New York City, music education is experiencing quite a considerable rebound and a renaissance. And if you are ever back in the city, we'd love to make sure you're connected to those very innovative, committed people who are working with community partners as well as really reinstating certified music educators within schools. It's really quite a wonderful renaissance. So just want to make sure if you're ever interested, we'd love to shepherd you into a music education experience in New York City. So
yes, that would be fun to do. You know, we try and highlight as we travel across the country, try and highlight places that are serious about a well-rounded education and serious about making sure that students have these experiences, particularly the students who are most at risk, for whom these great experiences in music and the arts save lives, can change the trajectory of their lives.
In the last couple of years, I spent quite a bit of time in Manhattan in the kind of Spanish Harlem area, and it just swells my heart when I see at the end of the school day so many young people carrying violins home. And I know that we're getting closer to the world that we believe in, where every child has a chance to learn music. So I want you to be aware that the NAMM Foundation and our various partners throughout the country and the Support Music Coalition is very eager to be of assistance to you in the department as you spread this message. Our conversation today will be available to our NAMM Foundation and our Support Music Coalition network. And we're just so grateful for your time. Any final thoughts?
Thank you so much for your leadership and for your commitment to really engaging in these state and local conversations that are going to be critical to ensuring that we really deliver on the promise of the Every Student Succeeds Act, which is a high-quality education for every child, regardless of race or zip code or gender. We've got to work together to make sure that we make these opportunities possible for all kids.
Thank you so much, Secretary King, and to all of us from the NAMM Foundation, the Support Music Coalition, our deep gratitude for the time today, for your very, very important service to education in our country. We're standing by to help. And to all of you on the call and to the Support Music Coalition, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all next time.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary LNAMM.